Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.
Today, pruning hooks into spears. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. Plowshares to Sword story of the U.S. Navy and steam spanned two wars. Like most military technology, steam warships sprang from civilian invention. The Navy's first steamship was built in New York during the waning days of the War of 1812. It was called Demologos, or Word of the People, and its builder was Robert Fulton. Fulton's original steamboat patent was only 8 years old. Fulton had aggressively built commercial riverboats. Others had built steamboats before Fulton, but it was he who'd quickly brought them into wide public use. Demologos was a radical design. The engine and paddle wheels were sandwiched between two hulls where enemy fire couldn't reach them. Fulton died a few months before it was finished, and the ship was renamed the Fulton in his honor. During the years of peace that followed, the Fulton saw only ceremonial service. Finally, in 1829, someone's carelessness in the powder magazine caused an explosion that blew it to bits. So, what did the Navy do now that the advantages of steam were clear? Well, they bought a small steamship, used it for 3 years in the West Indies, then mothballed it. Meanwhile, the commissioners studied the matter. Not until 1837 did they agree on a design and build a 180-foot steamer. Called Fulton II, it also saw some West Indies service. The Confederate forces finally burned it when they found it in Pensacola early in the Civil War. Except for a steam dispatch boat, the U.S. Navy didn't have another finished steamboat until 1842. Only after civilian steam packet service was in full swing did they begin serious steam warship building. Then they did not move with anything like the speed that civilian builder Fulton had. It took another civilian outsider to jump-start the technology of steam warships once the Civil War had begun. That was Swedish inventor John Ericsson. Ericsson had already built a fine warship, the Princeton. He replaced paddle wheels with a then-radical but very effective screw propeller. But his greater triumph came in 1861 when he designed the radical ironclad Monitor. Monitor not only used a newer and better screw propeller, it also carried the first gun turret. It could use a turret with a 360-degree rotation because it had relinquished something all the ocean-going ships retained for a long time. It no longer carried sail. Without a mast, the turret could turn in any direction. We cling to the myth that war drives technology, yet when we look at the details of military technology, we usually see the military adapting civilian inventions. They do so slowly in peacetime, more rapidly when they're under fire. Fulton and Ericsson were first and foremost inventors. They turned to the military or to commerce, whoever would foot the bill to support their real objective, which was not winning wars, but inventing things. I'm John Leinhard at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.